Good morning. Welcome to our worship service. Okay, if there's no further announcements, I invite Beth up now for our mission moments, community care, family shelter.
Good morning. Thank you very much. My name is Beth. I'm the executive director of Community Cares. Community Cares, we opened up our family shelter here off of Bird Street in Shipmansburg during COVID in 2021. So we began sheltering men, women, and children back in 2004. Our main location was in Shipmansburg. We utilized 14 different congregations that we rotated through. We had up to four families any given day. And we did that until COVID. COVID happened, how the churches closed. We had to figure out how to continue to do the work that we do. And it was always my heart that we would have a physical site for the men and women, not thinking it was appropriate, our setup, but financially, what could we do? So when COVID happened, we ended up putting families in hotels. And for the county of Cumberland County, we sheltered in those 17 months of lockdown, 66 families. So we had a greater understanding from that circumstance, understanding the real need in our community. And so we were reached out to, would you like to lease this space, when they closed the personal care home? So we began that journey in 2020, going through zoning, going through different hearings like that. And we were able to open August of 21. Last year, 2025, we sheltered 71 families through the course of the year. 153 of them were children. Family homelessness and senior homelessness are the fastest growing populations. The senior population is actually the fastest growing population, but they say by the year 2030, that population in homelessness is going to triple in size because seniors are factually being priced out of places to live. They are in fixed incomes, and if they lose that place they have for whatever reason, it's very difficult for them to get another place. So we also have been, a couple of our rooms, we've been using those for some of our senior individuals that need a little more time and space to be able to find housing for themselves. So we have a couple rooms right now dedicated to those that have mobility issues and other circumstances. We also have a partnership with WellSpan Health in there. We do up to 6 rooms of recuperative care for individuals that would otherwise have to convalesce, maybe in our congregational shelter in Carlisle, or maybe in their vehicle, or places not meant for human habitation. So people going through cancer treatments, had amputations, have recently had heart attacks, And the hospital doesn't really want them to stay there. You know, the hospitals want you to get out as soon as possible, but they don't have anywhere to convalesce. We're able to do that in our space as well. So any given day, we have all kinds of calls. Right now, just to give you some scope, we have a waiting list with about 6 families on them, one mom with 7 children, so we're looking for space to fit them in. And so what we try to do is support them until we can help them in the shelter. We also try to prevent people from needing our services, so we provide what's called homeless prevention supports. So if somebody is about to be evicted, 14 days from eviction, we can start processing with them and or trying to work diversion. And last year, we were able to help 532 households avoid eviction in some way throughout Cumberland County. But it's all because of people like yourselves that make it possible for us to do what we do. We've had some real success stories. We've been able to help many families sign leases and get into places that they just never thought they could get into. Right now, our newest family is a single dad with his 72-year-old mom and his children. So we have a lot of quote-unquote unconventional family situations like that. We're seeing more and more people with their parents living and finding themselves in this circumstance. So we're very proud of the work that we do, but the work we do is only because of the hearts of people like you. And if you have any interest in knowing more about us, I know that you guys have connected with us in many different ways, and I appreciate that. Sherry Collins is our volunteer coordinator, helps a lot. I put some newsletters in the back. If you'd like a tour of our place, you'd like to understand different ways that you can be involved. I say anything at our shelter. People are like, well, what do you need? We need anything that you need to make your house go. So if you need pine sol to clean your floors, so do we. If you need you know, paper towels, toilet paper. We need all the basics like that. But as far as involvement, there are different specific things that we have already planned that we like to get people involved with. But I also say, maybe you have a gift, or maybe you just have a desire. You're limited only by your own imagination, what you can bring to the table for those in need. So I thank you so much for all that you've done for the community in so many ways and allowing us to be a part of this community. Thank you very much.
Today we hear a third-person account of a centurion, a captain in the Roman army. Cornelius was a little different than most soldiers. He looked at Jesus with sadness and eventually came to the realization that Jesus truly was the Son of God. Let's listen to his story as he witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus.
Cornelius, captain of 100 Roman soldiers, was stationed at Caesarea. Certainly wasn't a desirable assignment. Hated by the Jews, he found it difficult to maintain authority over his men, who seemed to take pleasure in the fact that they were an occupying army. His men mocked the people, mistreating them when not under the watchful eyes of the overseeing commander, going to much further lengths than necessary to maintain control. Cornelius had heard of this man who claimed to be the Son of God. From his own observation, he seemed to be a gentleman. He certainly was different from the other religious leaders Cornelius had met in his past, but not to be mistaken for taking this man seriously. Professing to be the Son of God, after all, is quite the claim. But he wasn't impressed with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin and how they kept the people in check with their overbearing attitudes and threats. It wasn't until Passover that Cornelius had discovered that these men were seriously considering having this Galilean killed. That didn't take much stirring amongst the crowds of Jerusalem to get violence started amongst the people. Because while some had been witnesses of this man's miracles, many had only recently arrived and knew very little of this man who claimed to be the Son of God. Now, when Pilate had ordered this man, now prisoner, to be flogged, soldiers seemed to take pleasure in putting painful stripes on his back, kicking and spitting. Cornelius was impressed with this man's courage, but as he watched him suffer, he found it difficult to remain at his post. Crucifixion was never an event that Cornelius took pleasure in witnessing by any means, but he had heard the cries of agony many times before. But this time was different. This man refused the wine that would have offered him relief from the pain, and he hardly spoke. But when he did, it was words of comfort to those gathered at the foot of the cross. Cornelius couldn't understand how his men seemed to take pleasure in casting lots over his clothing and taunting this man in the worst hour of his life. Cornelius watched this man die, and a great sadness crept over him. Cornelius was to make sure that the prisoners were dead by sundown, so he was glad when this man had succumbed early. He flinched as the men gasped the man's side, and water and blood began to flow. But then at that moment, Cornelius had a realization. Truly, this man was the Son of God. Cornelius was a man of honor, and his realization of who Jesus was came very late. But eventually, he would become a follower through the witness of Peter. And Cornelius would lead many of his family and friends to be among the first witnesses of Christ. What about me, Lord? Am I sharing my witness? Am I guilty?
Good morning. It's nice to see you all here this morning. This is an exciting day, Palm Sunday. That's why we have you carrying palms. You see, when Jesus was here on earth, he traveled around to many cities and talked to many people. He told them all about God's love for them and God's forgiveness of their sins. So the people in Jerusalem heard Jesus was coming to their town again, and they were very excited. And they heard he was riding a donkey. That's why there's a donkey up here, because that meant that he came in peace. So that was exciting for the people that they had this wonderful person coming to speak and heal them and coming in peace. And they had the palm branches, and some people laid their coats down for him to ride over. And they were all singing, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were so excited that he was coming. And people were just rejoicing and singing, and some of the leaders got upset. And they told Jesus that he needed to quiet them down. They didn't want him praising Jesus. But Jesus told them, he said, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Have you ever heard a stone cry? No. Well, I decided to get some stones around my house. And I had trouble finding stones because, you know, we plant grass and flowers and corn and wheat and barley and soybeans. You know, we don't plant rocks, do we? And I never heard any of them cry. Do you hear them? No. But then I got to go to Israel, and it made me think a lot different about rocks. Because there, the streets were made of rocks. The walls were made of rocks. Their houses were made of rocks. I want you to see a few of the pictures of some rocks in Israel. Do you see any rocks there? How many rocks do you think are there? Take a guess. How many? So not only was this a wonderful miracle, this was a great miracle if the rocks would cry out, because that was everywhere in Israel. And that's what would have happened if the people didn't cry out and praise the Lord. So this is Holy Week, and I hope you have a good time reading about everything that Jesus did this week up to next Sunday, which is Easter. So we hope that you can come out for the Easter egg hunt on Wednesday too, and come on Sunday. Okay, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for caring about us and wanting to forgive our sins, Lord, and wanting to love us unconditionally. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Going to now read the scripture coming from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethanage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." And now we will have our sermon with Pastor Galen.
There are times when people shout joyfully. Sometimes people do it at ball games. And I know around here there are people who support the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know the Baltimore Ravens, but even more, there are Steelers fans. And so am I right about that? And sometimes at ball games, I know the Steelers fans will scream and shout and say hooray when their team scores. And I know it can be very loud at times. I am a sports fan, not in Pennsylvania, but a sports fan of the Kentucky Wildcats. And when my team scores, I shout at home. I have been known to make a lot of noise. Will you raise your hand if you shout at ball games joyfully? And I do see some hands. Sometimes we shout when people graduate high school. I remember shouting and showing joy. There are other times in our lives when people, when we will shout joyfully at events that happen. On this day, as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, on this Palm Sunday, when he made his triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem, I want us to do some shouting. And I want us to shout so loud that the First Church of God hears us, okay? And what we're going to shout with the greatest joy is we're going to shout the words that are in your bulletins under the offering invitation in your bulletin. And the words are, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But we're going to do it much louder. I want to see how loud you can be. Let's be louder than we do when we shout for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we're going to shout together those words in the Bible, words that were shouted as Jesus rode into town, rode into Jerusalem, and we're going to do it together. And so with me, let's be very loud and let's say these words. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And all of God's people said, amen. Good job. You follow directions very well. And what wonderful words that we can shout together today on this Palm Sunday. These words that give praise to Jesus. Words of joy that we can shout together on this Palm Sunday. What wonderful words. As we see our scripture this morning in Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40, we see Jesus himself headed into Jerusalem. And we see in this passage as Jesus goes into Jerusalem, as he's headed for the cross, we see that the whole crowd of disciples joyfully praised God. They praised the Lord joyfully. And what I want us to see today is there are different kinds of joy. There is a worldly joy that we see in the world around us. And then there is a godly joy. And today I want us to focus on godly joy because that's the joy that God wants us to have. And here's what godly joy is. It's different than the world's joy. Because godly joy is not based on our circumstances. It is based on the presence of Jesus in our lives. You see, in Luke chapter 19, there were some in that crowd that had joy because they thought that Jesus would be a military king. There were some that thought that Jesus would conquer Rome, their oppressors. And they rejoiced because they thought Jesus would be who they thought he would be, a military person, a military conqueror. And so their joy was based on if their circumstances were good. Because if Jesus was not that kind of king, if he didn't come to conquer Rome, then they wouldn't be joyful. Because their circumstances were not good, and so they wouldn't have joy. And you see, there are some people today who have a joy based on if their circumstances are good. Then they'll be joyful. Several years ago, when I taught elementary school, I had a fellow teacher, and she was a big University of Kentucky Wildcat fan, just like me. But she was the kind of fan that if her team won, she was joyful and she would wear the team colors and she would rejoice. And you could hear her going down the hallway, excited because her team won. But she was the kind of fan that if her team lost, you knew they lost because she was sad for the rest of the day. And she didn't wear her team colors if her team lost. She wore black. And her joy was based on her circumstances. Her joy was based on if her team won. And that's how it is for some people. Some people will rejoice only if the situation is good. And some people say, you know, my life is horrible. I'll have joy in my life if I win the lottery. Then I can really rejoice. Because right now, life is not good. Because their joy is based on circumstances. Some people say, I hate my job. I can't stand to get up and go to work in the morning. But I would have joy in my life if I get a new job. Then I'll really have joy. You see, their joy is based on their circumstances. Listen to me today. Godly joy is different than this kind of joy. Godly joy is knowing that Jesus is with us no matter what circumstances we face. No matter how bad things get, godly joy is knowing that Jesus is with us. And that gives us joy no matter how bad life is. We can rejoice because we know that Jesus is with us. I'll never forget this, that my wife and I had friends when we were in college. And she and her husband were in their 20s. They were both Christians. And one day she came home from work, and her husband went into the other room. And they had probably been married only about a year. And when her husband went into the next room, she came into the room and found him dead. He died very suddenly. And she was crushed. And I'll never forget, this has been many years ago, that my wife and I were at that funeral. And she asked that we sing this song. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I remember thinking, I was a younger Christian at that time, and I thought, how can there be rejoicing in today? But you see, this young woman was not rejoicing that her husband had died. She was very sad. She was crushed. But this young woman could rejoice in the day because Jesus was with her in her sadness. And because Jesus was with her in her sadness, she could have a godly joy. She could rejoice in Jesus. Listen to me today. No matter how bad things get, in our lives, we can have joy. Amen? No matter how bad things get in our lives, we can rejoice because Jesus is with us no matter what. Amen? Because godly joy is not based on our circumstances. God's joy is based on the presence of Jesus in our lives. And that's what godly joy is. Here's what else godly joy is. Godly joy is a joy that lasts forever. In Luke chapter 19, there were some people in the crowd who joyfully praised God for Jesus. But we know that in a few days, those same people will shout these words. They will shout, "Crucify him." See, the joy of some of the people in that crowd that day was temporary. It was a joy that didn't last. Listen to me today. Worldly joy doesn't last. People might be happy now in this life, but if people don't know Jesus as their Savior, they will be without joy in eternity because they will be without Jesus. And so their joy is only temporary. They may experience worldly joy now, but they cannot experience eternal joy if they don't know Jesus as their Savior. But the good news today is, as Christians, we have that godly joy. If we have the presence of Jesus, we have His presence with us now, no matter what we face. And we will have that joy forever in eternity with Jesus. It's not a temporary joy. It's a joy that lasts forever. Because it's a joy that will be with us someday after we die. We will experience that joy in eternity with Jesus. That is a godly joy. Because it is a joy that lasts forever. Praise God for that kind of joy. So the good news for us today is, if we are a Christian, we have not worldly joy, we have what's called godly joy. We have a joy that's not based on our circumstances. It doesn't matter if we have a good day at work or a bad day at work. It doesn't matter if we have extreme sadness. Because if we know Jesus, if we're a Christian, we have godly joy, and our joy is not based on circumstances, it's based in Jesus. And what a wonderful kind of joy that is. Amen. If we are Christians, we also have this godly joy that is not temporary. It is a joy that lasts forever. It lasts both now and it lasts in eternity. So godly joy is not based on our circumstances, and it is a joy that lasts forever and ever into eternity. There's a song that I used to sing when I was a little boy in church in Vacation Bible School. And it's a song that we can continue to keep in our hearts if we're a follower of Jesus. And here's the song. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And then it says, down in my heart to stay. And if we sing the rest of the song, it reminds us that the love of Jesus and His foundation in our lives is what brings that kind of joy. Because if we have Him, we have a joy that is not based on our circumstances. If we have Jesus in our lives, we have a joy that is not temporary. It is a joy that lasts forever and ever into eternity. Listen to me today. You may never get a raise at work. You may continue in your job and never be recognized. You may never get a raise, but you can still have joy. Amen? You may never have a lot of money. You may never win the lottery. But you can still have joy. Amen? Because in this life, brothers and sisters, we will have challenges. I haven't read anywhere that says we won't. And I know from experiences that life is full of challenges. In this life, we will have pain. In this life, we will have sadness. But even in the middle of our pain and our sadness and our struggles, we can still have joy. Because that joy does not come from our circumstances. That joy comes from Jesus. And if we know Jesus as Savior, if He is Lord of our lives, we can have that joy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Praise the Lord today for godly joy. And all of God's people together said, amen. Maybe today, Jesus is not at the center of your life. Maybe today, Jesus is not in your heart. But the Bible says that He knocks at our heart's door. And I love that image of Jesus. He continues to knock. He won't force His way in, because the handle of our heart is on our side, not His side. But He stands there and He knocks patiently. And He's asking us to respond. Perhaps today you've never answered the door of that knock. You've never asked Jesus to come and live in your heart. And today you can do that. You can make that decision to follow Jesus. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you as you make the greatest decision that you'll ever make. Perhaps today you are struggling in your relationship with God. Today can be the day when you recommit your life to Christ. Perhaps today that you have a prayer need and you would like the prayers of God's people. We'll gather around you. We'll lay our hands on you today if you have a need in your heart. But we want to invite you in just a moment to respond if God is laying something on your heart. We're going to sing this beautiful song, "You Are My All in All." And I would invite us now, if you would please stand. And if God has laid something on your heart, I invite you to come as we sing together. I want to invite you today to take the hand of somebody near you. You might have to scoot. And if you've not said good morning to that person, you could say good morning as you take their hand. This is a beautiful picture of our family, because we are more than a church. We are more than individuals. We are the body of Christ. And we're to be there for each other when we have struggles. That's what a family does. We laugh together, but we also cry together. And we're there for each other to build each other up, to strengthen each other. That's what a church is. And so today I want us to touch a hand as a symbol of our connection, but even more strongly, it's a symbol of God's connection to us as His people. And today we're going to lift up our two sisters in Christ, Sarah Serifko and also Sherry Runshaw, who are both struggling right now. Sherry is struggling and she really wants to feel God's love and the love of people around her. And so we're going to lift her before God. And also we're going to lift up Sarah as she's having trouble walking, that she wants to be able to walk even better. So we're going to pray for God's healing hand to be on her. And so would you join me as we take our two sisters before God's throne of grace? Let's bow together and pray together. Almighty God, I thank You for the touch of Your hand. For God, You have touched those when You were on this earth, when You walked as Jesus, you touched people and You brought Your healing, Your strength, Your love to each person. And today, Father God, we lift up our dear sisters in Christ to you, and we ask for that special touch to be on each one. We ask, God, that you would touch our sister Sherry with your touch today, Father. Help her to feel your love. And God, help her to feel the love of other people. I pray that this church would gather around her to show her your love, the love of Jesus. And Father, we do lift up our sister Sarah to you as she's struggling, Lord, to walk. As she just had a procedure recently, God, we ask that you would continue to give her strength. Touch her with your healing, God. Help her to get stronger each and every day. And Father, we just thank you for your healing touch. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this Palm Sunday. And we thank you, God, for this godly joy that we can have if we serve you and have you in our heart. I pray, Father, as we leave this place, your hand of protection would be on each one. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And together, all of God's people said, amen.